Blessings to Israel presents Discerning the Times, a program committed to encouraging you to view current events through the lens of the Bible. Now, in honor of the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please join us for today's program.
Welcome to Discerning the Times. My name is Brian Thomas, alongside co-host Dr. Bruce Logan. And today we are going to continue our look at the COVID-19 pandemic and the effects and the fallout from it. But before we get to that, let me remind you that your eternal state is far more important than your current state. If you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I encourage you to do so today so that you too may inherit eternal life. So again, we're looking back at the topic of the COVID-19 pandemic over the past 3 years. So we're continuing our discussion, looking at clips from GBN anchor Neil Oliver and Pastor Patrick Wooden of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. So let us pick up by listening to Neil Oliver speaking on the energy crisis.
Take the energy crisis. If you felt the blood drain from your face at the prospect of bills rising from hundreds to several thousands of pounds while reading about energy companies doubling their profits overnight, while being commanded to subsidize so-called renewables that are anything but green, while listening to this politician or that renew their vows to the ruinous fantasies of net zero and Agenda 2030, while knowing that the electricity for electric cars comes in the main and most reliably from fossil fuels, if you can't make sense of it all and just know that it adds up to a future in which you might have to choose between eating and heating, then treat yourself to the gift of understanding that the powers that be fully intend that we should have less heat and less fuel, and that in the planned future only the rich will have cars anyway. The plan is not to fix it. The plan is to break it and leave it broken. If you struggle to think the best of the world's richest, vacuous, self-obsessed A-list celebrities among them, endlessly circling the planet on private jets and super yachts so as to attend get-togethers where they might pontificate to us lowly proles about how we must give up our cars and occasional holiday flights, even meat on the dinner table. If you wonder how they have the unmitigated gall, then isn't it easier simply to accept that their honestly declared and advertised intention is that their luxurious and pampered lives will continue as before, while we are left hungry, cold, and mostly unwashed in our unheated homes? Here's the thing. If any leader or celeb honestly meant a word of their sermons about CO2 and the rest, then they would obviously lead by example. They would be first of all of us, willingly giving up international travel altogether. They would downsize to modest homes warmed by heat pumps. They would eschew all energy but that from the sun and the wind. They would eat with relish bugs and plants. They would resort to walking, bicycles and public transport. If net zero and the rest was about the good of the planet and not about clearing the skies and the beaches of scum like us, don't you think those sainted politicians and A-listers would be lighting the way for us by their own example? If the way of life they preach at us was worth living, wouldn't they be living it already? Perhaps you heard Bill Gates say private jets are his guilty pleasure.
All right. So, Doc, some people may listen to this and say, well, what does this have to do with the COVID-19 pandemic? But what we saw was this extension of governmental control where they locked us down, tried to get us to not go places, to only do what they told us to do. And then we see it coming in here in what Neil Oliver is speaking of with this so-called renewable energy crisis.
It all ties in that the government is really about power and control and establishing and setting the stage for the future globalist agenda. Because you got to keep in mind, the rhetoric that they say is what they say. Mm-hmm. But what their true meaning is, what their true target or agenda is, what their true purpose and motive is completely different from what their rhetoric says. And that's the one thing, as we talked about earlier, about discernment as beliefs. We can't expect the carnal mind or the unbeliever to understand what you and I are discussing.
Right.
Because they don't know any better but to accept the media narrative without question. And here's one an important point that we need to keep in mind, especially as believers, that who has control of the narrative mm-hmm. has control. They are the ones with the power. If you control the narrative, then you have the power over the carnal mind especially. And the carnal can be unbelieving carnal, but then you got, we also, as we read in 1 Corinthians, carnal Christians. And the reality of it is that we have to, as I was mentioning earlier, have discernment. Now, when it comes to this aspect of zero net carbon emissions, and which if the listeners have not heard this idea, which you mentioned, Agenda 2030, that's something you could just look up. I won't just go into it and explain it all in this episode, but basically what it is that this idea of wanting to have zero net or net zero carbon emissions by 2030, everybody own an electric car, completely abolish anything that has to do with fossil fuel. Mm-hmm. And the idea being to save the planet.
Right.
And you've heard me say this in previous episodes, actually more than once, mm-hmm. that it's a joke. If it wasn't so sad, it would be comical.
Right.
Because they have been talking about the greenhouse and saving the planet and the climate, going all the way back to this first time I heard about it was this 1969 episode of a series that used to come on, I believe ABC. It was called In Search Of, and it was hosted by Leonard Nimoy of Mr. Spock fame. Mm-hmm. This was, now think about this. This was in 1969. They did this episode of In Search Of, and they would do different topics, In Search Of Bigfoot, In Search Of you name it. And so this one particular episode, they did In Search Of the Coming Ice Age. And they talk about in 10 years, if we don't act, you know, and then it was a reference in the greenhouse effect. And if we don't act within 10 years, the world is going to have a mini ice age. Well, fast forward 10 years, not only did we not have an ice age, we had the world start warming,
right.
You know, it started getting warmer.
Mm-hmm.
Temperatures started to rise. And so they changed the term from the crisis title from the coming ice age. They changed it to now all of a sudden it's a global warming. You know, Al Gore goes all over your world. The solutions that they suggested were the exact same solutions for the coming ice age, but only now they changed the title from the coming ice age to global warming, but yet they wanted to use the exact same suggestions and regulations in place. They wanted to do carbon tax, and they wanted to, you know, ban fossil fuel and so on and so forth. But then, and each time they say, well, give us 10 years. We don't act within 10 years. Well, 10 years later, forwarding past the introduction of the new title, the global warming, none of those projections came to pass. So they had to change it up to the coming to climate change. But they changed it from the coming ice age to global warming to climate change. But in each case, not only did the projections not come to pass, but the projections did the opposite of what they said those projections would do. But their suggestions and their plans were the exact same. Ban carbon emissions. I mean, so it all came back to the exact same thing. And I'm kind of laughing, but it's really not funny. But it's kind of sad to me because nobody hardly picked up on this, especially within the church. We just bought in it hook, line, and sinker. So basically, they have discovered that they can basically tell the public whatever they want. They can make up whatever narrative they want to make up, and the public will just buy into it because there's that lack of discernment that we spoke about earlier. So basically, in a nutshell, It's not what they're telling us. It's not about what they're telling us. There's another agenda behind what they're saying publicly. So now all the technology is in place to control people from a government standpoint, and that's exactly what the plan is. So you got to remember, it's about power and control in order to establish the model and open the door or create the pathway for one world government that's described in the book of Revelation to come to pass.
Yeah. Leading us right toward the spirit of Antichrist wants to do, his one world system, as you stated. And it reminds me too, and the name slips my mind at the moment, but there was one of the elite globalists, and he was asked the question not too long ago. I think he's part of the World Economic Forum, but he was asked the question, were you surprised that you were able to get the entire world to comply to the degree that so many did when it came to these lockdowns and all the stuff related to COVID-19. His response was, we were really surprised that the Christians were willing to comply so easily. He said, we thought they were going to put up more resistance. And I just thought, wow, that says a lot about the church. We must. Yeah,
that's confirmation right there.
That's confirmation. Yeah. Of what they're trying to do. And folks, you know, if you're one of those that say, well, some of these things you're not aware of, and maybe you say you don't have a discerning mind, but here's the thing, whether you really see these things happening or not, there should be something inside of you that says something is not quite right with this. Let me look to God. And we need to trust God. So I want to go back to Bishop Wooden once again. And that's the point that he's making, because, again, so many during COVID were so afraid of losing their lives, so afraid of what the future holds. But when we trust God, when we know that God knows best, we won't have sleepless nights. We won't need to have fear, because we know that God is in control.
I want to teach you how trust works. Trust is not believing God and celebrating the Lord when you get the outcome you want. Trust is believing God and celebrating God and leaving the outcome to Him. You ask for what you want. You believe Him for what you want. And if it doesn't go the way that you want it to go, you may cry, you may weep, you may mourn, but you don't shake your fist at God. You don't get angry with God. You don't believe that God have somehow done you wrong. That's not trust. That's foolishness. How dare a puny human being shake their fist or point their little finger at the God who made everything? I prayed. And so the next time I went to visit my mother, and that the last time she couldn't stand up, she was in the bed, she couldn't get up. Went to see her, she was in the living room. I thought that was odd. And do you know, my mama stood up and said, son, oh, that ain't it. I've changed my mind. I think I'm going to be here. I'm going to hang around. My wife will tell you, I looked at her. I said, what? And I began to rejoice in the Lord. And the Lord has blessed her, and she's doing great today. But the point is, all of us, should the Lord delay His coming, all of us eventually are going to die. And when the Lord calls us home, or call a loved one home, trust is accepting what God allows. Trust doesn't mean that you can laugh and accept it. Trust doesn't mean that you can have joy and accept it. The joy will eventually come. But trust is knowing that God knows what's best.
Doc, you know, this makes me think about the very conversation we were having a few days ago off air, a private conversation. But you were stating that Father Time is undefeated. And I think you were quoting Charles Barkley. So like the bishop said, we're all going to die someday. The question is, do you trust God? And folks, don't get me wrong. I believe in that we preserve our lives, that we are to take care of our health. I go to the doctor. I exercise. I try to eat well, because God has us here for a purpose. And we want to live out our lives to be good stewards of our bodies that He's given us, so that we can fulfill what He has called us to do in this life. But when the time comes, we know a day is coming that we have to leave this world, and we need to trust Him in knowing that He knows best, regardless or whether the outcome is that we want to be here longer or not, whether it comes to ourselves or to our loved ones, we need to trust God. So what are your thoughts, Doc?
Yes, I totally agree. And also, probably to piggyback on that point, is one of my concerns is the state of which the gospel is today, you know, with this sensationalized gospel, this prosperity movement, this prosperity gospel. And don't get me wrong, you know, I often say, you know, I want to, you know, be comfortable and all those types of things. Mm-hmm. But when your focus, which seems to be the primary focus in most churches today, which, you know, is very concerning, when your focus is on being blessed in this life, I think that's a different mindset than when you describe Bishop Wooten's mother or the Apostle Paul, as we quoted from him, because our mindset should be on heaven. And I use this analogy because I teach a Bible college, and I use this analogy in one of the recent classes. I was teaching a New Testament survey, and we were talking about how do we view time. Mm-hmm. And I said that if I were to live to be 100, I had a grandmother that lived to be 104. Well, she was a great-great-grandmother. She lived to be 104 to 107. Nobody really knew exactly. So we couldn't find her birth certificate. But we know she was up there. Uh-huh. And so let's say, you know, we can make it that long, which I'm not quite sure I would want to. But that said, living to be 100 or 100, and let's say 110, is just the grain of sand in all the seashores on planet Earth compared to eternity.
Right. Yep. Exactly
you
right.
You know, that's what we have to think about. So that the mindset of a kingdom citizen here on Earth in this life should be, how should I live in this life in order to live eternally? Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says that we're eventually going to be judged by the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad, and we're going to be subsequently rewarded accordingly.
Yeah, and I'll just add on to that to say that's even being promoted in a lot of churches today. And I think you touched on that earlier, because when we are just focused on this life, this side of life, it's really showing carnality, which the Bible speaks against, because the scripture says our citizenship is not of this world. And exactly. Folks, we need to be thinking eternally. And we should not fear. We need to trust God. You know, Doc, you and I, we believe that the rapture will take place before the tribulation, but we don't believe that means we're exempt from any type of suffering at all. And one of the things that we do know that the Bible talks about that's going to happen during the tribulation in the last days, there is going to be this soaring inflation. There's going to be food shortages. How much of that we may see or taste before the Lord comes to get us, I don't know. But we're already seeing inflation, and we've already seen some food shortages. So I want to next share what Neil Oliver had to say concerning how food shortages is tying into what we've seen over the past 3 years with this COVID-19.
And how about food, and more particularly the predicted shortage of it? The suits and CEOs blame it all on Vladimir Putin. But if the countries of the world are truly running out of food, why is our government offering farmers hundreds of thousands of pounds to get out of the industry and sell their land to transnational corporations for use or disuse unknown? Why aren't we as a society doing what our parents and grandparents did during World War II and digging for victory? Why is the government intent on turning a third of our fertile soil over to rewilding schemes that make life better only for the beavers? Why aren't we looking across the North Sea towards the Netherlands, where a WEF-infected administration is bullying farmers off their land altogether, forcing them to cull half the national herd? Those Dutch farmers are among the most productive and knowledgeable in the world, holding in their heads and hands the answers to all manner of questions about how best to produce food. And yet their government is so intent on scaring them out of the business that a teenage boy in a tractor taking part in a protest to defend ancient rights and traditions was fired on by police. Why do you think it matters so much to the government of the second most productive population of farmers in the world to gut and fillet that industry? Why? Why have similar protests in countries all across Europe and the wider world been largely ignored by the mainstream media, a media that would have crawled on its hands and knees over broken glass just to report on a BLM protester opening a bag of non-binary crisps? Why the silence on the attack on farming?
I tell you, Doc, I mean, Neil Oliver is just putting things out there. He poses a great question.
Yeah,
why exactly. Is it that if we're having food shortages to where we can not grow the food, why then are governments trying to get farmers to get out of the farming business?
Well, I mean, the answer to that is just so blatant, because it's happening globally. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the media is silent is really even a stronger indictment. But the reality of it is that I firmly believe that there's a connection. There's a chain that's connecting. There are dots that's connecting everything that's happening with or has happened with the COVID-19 and the subsequent mitigations by world governments, the lockdowns and the implications. Because here's the thing, what has occurred, a lot of times we think about the lockdown, but there's been not enough conversation about the implications about the impact that the lockdowns had on world economies. Mm-hmm. Soaring inflation, rising interest rate, I mean, disruptive supply chains, and then along with what's happening with the farming industry. And what's interesting is that what they're doing with the farming industry really doesn't have anything to do with the pandemic per se.
Right.
So mm-hmm. that's like something separately that they're doing on the side, basically taking advantage of the distraction that the COVID-19 pandemic opened the window for. So now that they got everybody distracted, let us slip in all these other little globalist little movements here and there, and we can really set the stage or begin setting the stage. And really what it's trying to do is, the word that comes to mind is population control. When you're talking about impacting the food chain, it can only be, I'm talking from a global standpoint. You know, I mean, it would be bad if it was just national, if it was just individual country, that was, let's say in America, that was happening. I mean, that would be bad enough. But when you're talking about it on a global position, when you're talking about the fact that Bill Gates is buying up billions of dollars of farmland in the United States, and then he spoke about other countries like the Netherlands and other places that are paying farmers to not to farm. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. They're paying farmers not to farm.
Something's not right.
There's something not right with that. So that lets you know that there is something more nefarious happening. Mm-hmm. And you got that, and that's what we as believers, it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning. There needs to be a greater level of discernment among believers, because we cannot expect the carnal-minded unbeliever to be able to connect these dots. Yeah. And so, yes, it's all part of a one big picture agenda, and just starting to come together. It's starting to amalgamate. They use the pandemic and climate change, quote unquote, as the catalyst or the impetus in order to launch or to accelerate, because the agenda has been launched for, you know, decades. But now we're seeing it being accelerated openly. And they have an excuse. They have the pandemic, and they also have climate change, so-called, in order to use as an impetus in order to launch all of these other globalist agendas.
Yeah, I tell you, Doc, you're exactly right. We see the pieces of the puzzle coming together for this big picture. And I thought about, as you were talking, I thought about in the scriptures, in the book of Genesis, chapter 25, Esau. And what did Esau do? He learned a very, very hard lesson. He gave up his birthright because of hunger. He said, well, exactly. What good is it to me if I'm starving? But that's the thing. What Esau learned the hard way is the same thing that these global elites know. The way to control people is through their stomachs. When people are hungry, when people are starving,
that's exactly right,
they will give up control. They will turn over whatever, as long as they can eat. And so that's what we see taking place. And again, as you said, Doc, it takes a discerning mind to see why are these things taking place. It takes discerning minds and questions of men like Neil Oliver and Bishop Wooden to ask these questions. And we want you to think and to see what is taking place. And that's why we have the mission of this program, is that we are here to discern the times and to get you to view life through the window of the Bible. And we see these things happening that I truly believe is pointing to what the scripture says is going to be fulfillment of the last days prophecies. But the thing for us as believers, the Bible says, Jesus said, when you see all these things begin to happen, look up and watch, because your redemption draws near. And so that is where we draw our hope and confidence. And I don't mean hope as the way we say it in the English way, as if we say, well, it may or may not happen. No, I'm saying hope from the way it's defined in the Greek, to where it means I know of a certainty that this thing is going to take place. So, Doc, exactly. We're going to park it there for this week because we're out of time, but we'll be back with more because we have a lot more to say on this topic. But do you have any closing words to our audience before we sign off for this week?
Yes, real quickly. We have to realize from a big picture standpoint that what is happening, what we've been discussing, and what's taking place in the world over these past few years is much, much bigger than politics, much, much bigger than whatever the default narrative is. It's much, much bigger than race, much, much bigger than BLM and so all the other media hype that, you know, we hear much of. What we're dealing with is literal forces of darkness. You know, we are in a literal spiritual warfare that's taking place here on earth. And that's the thing that we have to keep in mind. Everything that's happening is not by accident, not by coincidence, but it's been an orchestrated plot from invisible satanic forces in the unseen realm that is manifested here on earth, that's setting the stage and directly operating and controlling and possessing individuals who have become vulnerable to the Satan's suggestions and who are implementing Satan's end time agenda, the spirit of Antichrist agenda, literally here on earth. And unless we as believers become more discerning and aware and actually get to our mission, which we're supposed to be doing in the first place, which is to go out and make disciples. And I want to just make this point is that a lot of times we'll say go make converts. And yeah, you got to be converted first. But the ultimate objective is to make disciples, which is not the same necessarily as a convert. But we all converts, but not every convert has been properly discipled. And that's the distinction that we need to make. And it takes a person properly discipled in order to have the discernment to be able to understand exactly what is taking place.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Excellent way to close us out for this week. All right, Doc. Well, it's always good talking with you. Looking forward to being back with you again next week. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to being with you also once again. So until next time, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, bless God's great nation of Israel, and to the only wise God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Discerning the Times. Please come back and join us next week as we continue to encourage you to